Okay, it is approximately 2:35 p.m. on April the 5th, 2010. We're back on the record on the appeal of Z4 Corporation, OPA-PA-09-012. When we went off the record, Mr. Fazi was on the stand as the witness. Mr. Jackson had just completed his cross-examination. Ms. Fazi, just to remind you, you're still under oath, okay? And for redirect. Ms. Winnie, do you have any redirect?
No.
Okay. Ms. Fazi, you had testified that there was a MOU between GSA and the Department, the Guam Department of Education, concerning the use of, GSA taking over the procurement responsibilities. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And in terms of the written record of that MOU, I know that there was submitted. Purchasing agencies exhibit number 23, purchasing agencies exhibit number 24. I note that purchasing agencies exhibit number 24 was signed by the governor.
Correct.
And then was there a written document, another written document other than these?
Yes, there is. The other document, Tony, states the involvement of the DOA, the Department of Administration's accounting office, to assist in the financial issues that DOE was having. So it was actually an approved document by the, it included, I believe, the governor, the BBMR, the director of DOA, and the superintendent.
And did that document specify or state in any way regarding GSA taking over the procurement activity of Guam Department of Education?
Yes, it does.
Ms. Mooney, has that document been entered into evidence?
No, it has not. It's dated sometime in October of 2009, and I can provide that for you.
Yes, I'm going to require you basically to provide that no later than noon tomorrow, which is the 6th of April. Okay.
Can I have it just a little bit later in the day because of the hand delivery process?
Okay. I'll give you until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And also, if you can provide a copy to Mr. Jackson as well by that date and time.
Okay.
All right. I have a presentation.
Thank you. Mr. Fazi, earlier when Mr. Jackson was talking to you or questioning you, you made you said that you normally handled some construction projects.
That's correct.
Okay, and that was primarily
GPA. When I was at GPA.
I meant in your capacity as Chief Procurement Officer.
Yes, and that's the construction at the port.
And are you still doing that?
No, not at this time.
Okay. So normally, in your role as Chief Procurement Officer, do you handle any construction projects?
When we say construction, it could actually be a renovation. And there are some, like the statute indicates, where there is, like minor repairs or what is this routine work that may be construed as construction is really not construction. So when we're saying construction, like plans, blueprints, no, we don't handle that.
So what type of construction projects does GSA handle?
Again, it's not construction, it's actually like routine work on equipment, whether it's, like 5-ton generators or the larger type of generators or renovations, not necessarily renovations, but like just minor repairs of like, let's say a window where the department procures or requests for a window to be installed.
Is there a dollar limitation?
No.
On those types of repairs?
It's considered as goods and services, not the $50,000 threshold.
So the project under question right now, the rebid on the appeal in question, what would you classify that as?
Construction.
Construction.
Yes.
Okay. So why is it then that GSA handled it?
Because the Department of Education is decentralized, and they actually handle their own construction, the procurement of the construction, the needs for construction bids or certifications. And because we were asked by the Department of Education to assist them, that's why we took on the responsibility even on construction.
It was my understanding, and I don't know this yet because it was not provided, that there was supposed to be a memorandum of understanding between the Department of Education and DPW with regards to the bond issues, that all of the money under that bonding was supposed to be done vis-a-vis DPW. Are you aware of that, the memorandum of understanding?
No.
I searched for it, and ma'am, all I could do is submit the public law that we found, and I asked counsel, Ed Mishkar, and we were unable to come up with anything, and that's why I will continue to search.
Okay, so from your records, there may not have been that memorandum of understanding.
No, I did find a public law that talked about whether or not it was and I submitted that.
Yes, I saw that.
I did not come up with a different memorandum of understanding between the two agencies. I know that it came down that everyone was attempting to use the funds to make sure the structure got changed, and there was a question about using engineers.
Anyway, going back, it was my understanding, at least from previous testimony from Rokia Contour, that some other projects relating to the bond, which is what this project is going to be funded by, were done through DPW. Are you aware of that?
No. And actually, Ms. Brooks, when DOE was transiting over to DOE, I wanted to make that clear with Andarissa, Dr. Underwood.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as she's concerned, that her department was actually handling all the construction and the construction certification. Because I also wanted to make sure that, you know, as we transition into this, where GSA is going to actually be assisting them, I want to know what are they doing or what are they responsible for. And, like, the concern is DPW doing your construction and I don't have to worry about it. And I wanted to know what my responsibility is in just taking over the department procurement issue.
So what did she say?
She's saying that construction is still being handled by her department.
I agree.
And that is why this bit happens to be open at DOE, you know, going back.
Okay. All right. But in the normal course of things, GSA does not handle construction.
No.
Does GSA have the authority to handle construction?
No, it doesn't.
It does not have the authority? So your authority came because
of the request for assistance from the superintendent of DOE.
Because DOE has the authority to do construction. Otherwise,
we would have done.
We would not have done construction.
We
would not have done this particular item.
That's correct.
Because it is a construction project. Okay. Let's see. Going back earlier, Ms. Cruz, I think it was, you signed a document saying that in the rebid, the specifications were not, In our document submitted, there is a letter signed by Ms. Cruz saying that when GSA did the rebid of this project, that the specifications were not made part of the rebid?
Actually, the GSA did not institute the rebid process. that was all done by DOE. And as DOE transitioned down to GSA, of course the appeal was filed, we had to put procurement records together. We discovered that none of the plans or the technical drawings or the technical business were not a part of the procurement record on the rebid package.
I'm a little bit confused. It was my understanding under this interim transition, or the transition point, under Bokia Contra, he had a, quote, awarded or notice to proceed or however you want to, whatever was the term he used, had been given to Z4. Then, subsequently, an appeal was filed by Aeon, and you handled the appeal.
Yes.
Or GSA handled the appeal.
At the time Aeon filed the appeal, DOE was transitioning to GSA already at that time.
And you responded to the appeal. GSA, through you, responded to the appeal, not DOE per se.
That's correct.
So, was there a rebid? I'm confused now.
Based on the record, Ms. Brooks, there was a rebid.
When was the rebid?
It took place, I think, in March or July, June or July.
June 4th was published, and June 24th is the date that the bids were due in on the rebid.
I'm confused.
Easily, it's very confusing because they utilize the same the same contract number.
Who's they? Do you
know? We did. We did. In the procurement area at the time, they issued it, and we had testimony at the first hearing from Albert Garcia that Rocky Alcantara that they issued the bid. And as they were reviewing the process, they determined that there had been an error made in the bid document and that a checkbox was not checked that permitted them to have the licenses of contractor's license submitted. The way that sheet reads, you could submit a business license, and then there was language that was one box, and if you checkbox the next one, or a construction license, a contractor's license. And when it had gone out, they had not checked it, and all the people that were submitting it submitted contractors' licenses versus the business license. So they issued a notice rejecting all the bids and rebid it for that process because of the error in the bid document.
This is a point of clarification. Yes. In the initial bid that was sent out by DOE, there were specifications sent out.
My understanding is that is correct.
And then in the rebid done by DOE, Ms. Cruz wrote a letter stating that in the rebid, those specifications did not go out.
That is correct, and from what I can determine, that was also correct based on talking to people at DOE and reviewing, actually going on an inspection of the procurement office.
So GSA was not involved in any rebidding done by at all. The rebid was done all under DOE's time.
That's correct.
So when you reviewed it, we were looking at the rebid.
Correct.
did you also look at the initial bid?
Actually, the documents were all messed up, you know, so I've been trying to reconcile all this bid work. And I then saw amendments, and then I'm looking at the date the rebid was announced or published, and then I'm looking at these amendments were dated back before the announcement, and that's when I was, you know, we are in the morning, and Nita and I are trying to put this procurement record together and discover that that's all we have from the file on the rebid.
I remember you testified earlier, you had concerns even about the rebid, that because you determined that the specifications were not, not a part of the record, that that may not have been complete information for any potential bidders. Only those who might have been part of the initial bid.
Yeah, well, that's correct, because, you know, I'm saying, what if a new bidder came in because it's a rebid, and again, it's re-announced, and there's a new player. How then will they submit a bid fairly versus the ones that have the drawings and specifications on the initial bid? And because there was no notation on the rebid package that if you purchased a copy on the initial bid, that you didn't have to pay against the same print on the rebid. So none of that was stated on the rebid. And so that, you know, that kind of concerns me. If a new bidder comes in, how then will they submit and be treated fairly or be evaluated fairly? Because the other bidders that have already picked up packages can now understand what the specs are versus someone coming in.
If you had, looking back now, and of course this is, you know, just looking back now, knowing what you know, what would you have done with, if GSA still had the authority, was still overseeing dealers, what would you recommend?
Actually, which we did, we did kind of, you know, when I'm trying to recollect, it went 3-4 filed an appeal. We're saying, you know, this is just going to drag on, and in the meantime, the school needs the gymnasium, the kids need it, and it's just going to drag this on, waiting for hearing and stuff. So we, if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to recall if we actually tried to resolve it with the appellant, that we were willing to dismiss it and start the whole process over, since everything was really confusing, and it was a total mess on the procurement side. Not only that, not only that there wasn't any drawings in the rebid, but also that they issued a notice to proceed erroneously in the process. Yeah. But that would have been my recommendation, and we did try to offer that.
Okay. The other concern that I have in doing all of this, earlier we had the testimony of Mark Reese, who's from Tennessee Group, did the specifications. And what he, my recollection now, this is my recollection of his testimony, was that the specifications did not require an alternate bid. Because in an alternate bid, it would be laid out in specifications what could be bidded alternatively. It was only because in the check mark of a goods and services bid, and he said this is not part of the traditional construction document. He said it was because it was in the check mark of a services, goods and services contract that line was checked off. But he testified that in the specifications, there was no alternative requirement. Are you aware of that?
Actually, with alternate bids, I need to differ with TRMA, but even throughout my experience in the different agencies that I work for the government, alternate bids have been accepted, whether it's construction or just regular goods and services, as long as it is noted in the solicitation.
So the fact that DOE checked off an alternate bid, someone could submit, even though the plans did not ask for it?
The plans wouldn't ask for them, because the plans are just the drawings. They said that it wouldn't require it on the plans. It would be on the requirement of the solicitation document.
So why would DOE want to have, why would you want to have an alternate bid if you didn't have plans specifying which being an alternate bid?
No, because the alternate bid is offered based on the specs that are issued. So they're not going to give you two sets of specifications saying this would be your basic spec, this is an ultimate spec. It's the bidder who can offer us ultimate bids and not the government say this is the spec for the ultimate, this is the spec for the basic.
So in construction, a bidder, if that box is checked, a bidder can offer?
Yeah. From experience, you can. And especially if it is F. And again, going back to DOE, if you look back and review all the other bids, they use that as their standard and a general terms and conditions for their solicitation, whether it's construction or services.
Is there a difference in the so-called standard documents and goods and services bidding package versus the standard documents in the construction?
On the terms and conditions?
Yes. Are the different boxes you can check off and so on?
Again, different agencies put out their special general provisions or their general terms and conditions as it relates to construction. So there's not one set of way that they put out or standardizing their general terms and conditions. So it varies throughout the department on how they want to put out their forms. But I guess the DOE is that they use the same format that GSA has in terms of those general terms and conditions.
So in evaluating an alternate bid, what is it that you look for to see if it's, quote, is the minimum?
Well, we of course, in this case, the architect will make sure, again, that it does meet all the requirements of the specification, the technical spec. And the alternate bid is either offering something lower, it may be higher, you know, it all depends. But it's just an alternate is just offering another product or still meeting the required specifications of the invitation of the COVID for the request of time.
In the case of Beyond, their basic bid was $998,578, and then their alternate bid was $729,098. Mr. Jackson asked you this earlier, and I'm just seeking clarification again. I can't remember what schedule it was in, but the difference between the two is approximately $260,000. Is the difference between the alternate and the basic bid. But in the schedule, in one of the schedules, the difference was about 160 plus, and I can't remember offhand.
163
something. Yes. Okay. I recall you said something to the effect that you didn't look that closely at that schedule, and I guess I was wondering why not.
I didn't look at the cost because right now we're just clarifying the technical specs. And if you know, again, it goes back to the architects when they're evaluating, so they will be able to maybe pinpoint why is the disparity of cost.
Okay,
so if again they look at the amount, the difference in the amount, I would look more carefully at why are they offering way, you know, I mean the difference in the cost, what kind of products are they offering to the government versus what their basic bid will be. So it's about the technical stuff that we were looking at and not the cost. Because we're only clarifying the submittal and not the cost.
Well, at what stage would you evaluate or at what stage would you determine that Eon's alternate bid was, quote, acceptable? Because you had issued a notice to Z4 saying that they were not qualified due to high price.
Correct.
Okay. So at what stage would you determine that Eon or who or when would it be determined that Eon's ultimate bid is acceptable?
Based on the feedback that we get from the facilities division, because the facilities division works hand in hand with the architect.
We did see some of that back
yeah.
and forth.
And then it's what they present to the procurement office, their findings.
Well, they determined already that the alternate bid at that point, at least in my understanding, was acceptable. Let me rephrase my question. Would Eon's alternate bid still have to have gone back to the architect to determine if it was acceptable, or did that initial or review, was that definitive enough?
No. What to make sure again, when we filed the appeal, we wanted to make sure that we wanted to make sure again that we covered all bases as it relates to the memorandum that was submitted to the procurement office, the DOE procurement office, by the facility manager from DOE. Okay, based on the statement, both EONS and Z4 can complete the project.
Correct.
Right. So I don't know why the procurement at DOE went and started working with Z4 based on the memorandum that was submitted by facilities that both of them netted, and the ultimate was lower than Z4's basic bid. So that's a question I could never answer. So before we actually even moved to the next step, I wanted to evaluate, just look at the documents on what was submitted by facilities and by the architect. And
okay, may I interrupt you? You said that the both were acceptable and that EONS was lower, but was a complete evaluation done based on the information that was provided? Only a portion, or more than half, though. Let me rephrase it, because the difference is $260,000. That's the difference between EONS' basic price and EONS' alternate price. There was a difference of $260,000 that had to be explained, and the documents only showed that he provided $163,000 worth of explanation. So there's almost $97,000 or so still to be explained. But based on that, you were saying that the alternate bid was still acceptable?
According to the feedback that we got from facilities,
you know, that feedback was based on information from Taniguchi Roof, who said, in my recollection, is that they both of them had issues, and it's my recollection that EONS had more issues than before. If you were to go back to that schedule, if you were to count them, EONS had more discrepancies or more itemized as of concern compared to before.
Correct. But it also stated on the memorandum from the facilities manager that according to TRMA, that they will work out those brochure issues and those catalog issues after an award is made, and that's why they have the pre-construction meeting before they move forward.
So then whoever was the winning bidder would still have to, that goes back to my question, with EONS, if it was allowed to proceed, would their alternate bid still have to have been reviewed in its entirety?
It was reviewed in its entirety based on the documents, because there was two columns, Z4 and EONS alternate bid. The initial review.
So then no further review would need to have been made?
Right.
By either one. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That initial review in July and was sufficient enough,
right,
to determine that you could make an award.
Right. Based on the architect. Remember, the architect is the one who's dealing with the technical specs. Letting the procurement know whether they met the technical specs or they didn't.
I don't know what exhibit. This is a memorandum dated July 16th from Mark Bruce to Rod Trier. and I'm going to read an item on the deed. These submittals are not sufficient for construction submittal approval. Because our specification is based for the most part on U.S. products during construction, we will only review information provided. As such, the burden is on the contract to obtain information to prove his product is valid and make a proper construction submittal. Return herewith. Yeah. But he says these submittals are not sufficient for construction submittal approval. And there may have been a later one, I'm not sure, I can't remember now. So he even says that these submittals are sufficient, insufficient. Yet you're saying now we don't need to go any further. Did I misunderstand what you said?
Yeah, I guess what Mr. Farrell was probably making the statement is on the brochures and on the catalogs. Clarify what you just said, or restate what you just said.
A later memorandum. Okay, this is a memorandum dated September 16th from Mark Bruce, copied to Rod Trier, but sent to Billy Cruz, who I understand is Rod Trier's
supervisor?
Yes, okay. He says, as stated before, we must reserve the right to reject a, he goes on to say, several of the items. Without further information at the close, we cannot determine if the submittal is acceptable. At the end, it says, without further information, we cannot determine if the submittal is acceptable.
I believe it's appellant exhibit 25.
Go 25, and it's the third
page. Oh, back 2 pages?
It's the third page.
Third page.
What's the fourth page?
Fourth page.
Excuse me.
What was your question again?
Earlier you stated that the reviews were done and therefore no other further review needed to be done because of based on what was submitted by either Billy Cruz or Rod Trier,
mm-hmm.
something to that effect.
Right.
Is that generally correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you stated also based on the reviews that were done by Mark Bruce, that you had enough information.
That's right.
Okay. I'm just pointing out in his letter of September 16th, which I think now you have, he said, now this is, as I understand it, primarily Eon now what he's been doing. I don't see any comment regarding before.
Okay.
So he says, the following is our review of the five product submissions based on our meeting with TSA, etc. And I quote, as stated before at the end of that second paragraph. Could you read that? Yes, that's right. On the second paragraph, on the first page, it's a memorandum, not a letter, right?
You're looking at the one from TRNA?
Yes, September 16th.
Okay.
Correct? To Billy Cruz?
Right.
Yeah. The second paragraph, the last sentence?
As stated before, we must reserve the right to reject A, and then it says free reply
right from there. Keep on, and then read on the last, on the second page, the last sentence.
Without further information, we cannot determine that the submittal is acceptable.
And you had said earlier, you found them acceptable.
Right, because of the letters from the facility to the procurement.
And what did that letter say, generally, to your recollection?
Let's see, on Exhibit 27 of the appellant's folder, it says they meet specifications, and then Mr. Trava made some comments there on that, on the letter from GSA to the facility's maintenance of DOE. Like I said, the architect works with the facilities people. And on the July, if I may, don't miss it. On the July memorandum from the facilities manager, it's also noted there that TRMA does recognize that it's during the pre-construction meeting that these guys need to get really down to discussing about the brochures and what they're offering as it relates to the product.
So what was? So what is the basis now again for saying that Eon is acceptable? Could you just state for the record again?
It's the memorandum that we received back from facilities. The response to GSA is whether they met it, and this is during the clarification stage. Because even on the initial review by TRMA and the facilities manager to the procurement, initially they stated that they both met it. They can both complete the job. So just to iron out the concerns wherein it was stated that Eon did not submit their alternate explanation to their alternate bids, we actually, GSA, took a look at that, and they did submit. So the concern that came up was that some of the literature that was submitted by Eons was in a different language, not English. So that is why we wanted to make sure that with TRMA and the facility, that the procurement officials, that we are responsible to make sure that these guys are actually meeting the specs, and how can we say they met it without having to submit literature that we can understand. So that's when GSA said we need to go back. We spoke to Rob Trial, we need to go back, and here now our literature is submitted in English, so that you can actually go back to TRMA and confirm that that Eon met the specs. So that's when September 16 came around, I mean the September 25th letter, memorandum from GSA to the facilities manager, is all about clarification of the submittal of Eon. But since the initial review, TRMA and facilities did indicate that Eon, the ultimate bid of Eon and the basic bid of Z4 actually met the requirements. They didn't change.
So let me ask this question. Since September 28th, if we look at that letter, we would appreciate Pete DeNicholas, I guess. Is he your employee?
Yes.
Or GSA? Okay. He is signing on your behalf. Okay. We would appreciate your response no later than September 28th in order for GSAD to make an award expeditiously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're saying that you're giving EONS the opportunity to submit their specifications for these additional things?
No.
No?
We're saying to the facilities manager that we are seeking for them to respond by September 28th so that we can move forward on the project, because we understand with DOE that the Ocean View Gym was one of their hot projects that needed to get resolved because of the kids having no gymnasium, and this was they were kind of putting pressure on the award on this project.
To your recollection, did whoever had DOE, whoever was supposed to do this, did they ever submit clarification that all the other items you're asking? Longest facilities and maintenance division. Who would that be? Is that Billy Cruz?
Yes.
Billy Cruz and Rod Trier. Okay. Did Billy Cruz or Rod Trier submit to your office by September 28th all the additional information or whatever you were requesting to ensure that they did meet the specifications?
They submitted it in notice. They signed off on October 7th.
They find that they did submit, they responded and submitted this to us. October 7th is when they approved the request for the analysis, for the specification.
So, Billy Cruz did submit something?
Yes, this is what they submitted. The one on the bottom is where they signed off.
Yes.
Because the memo is, we write the top, and they're supposed to either say that they need it or they didn't need it and sign off and resubmit it to GSC, the procurement office.
My recollection when we interviewed when Fire came out, he wrote this. This is his handwriting.
The bottom, yeah.
Yes. And these were his remarks.
Right.
He said that to confirm this, we're going to require EON to write a letter saying that they will comply at no additional cost.
That's what he, my recollection of his comment, of his testimony.
Mm-hmm. Which thing did, if you look on the Exhibit 28?
Second paragraph, it says, request that you confirm that all materials shall comply with the technical specifications at no additional cost of your bid price during construction stage of the project. If you agree to this, please sign below. And that Mr. Wu did sign. But all he's confirming that it will, but was there any evidence submitted, or when would you require, or who would require, who would follow up on this to ensure that Mr. Wu did comply?
That's when they have a pre-construction meeting with the facilities and the architect. At that point is when they're going to make sure he complies.
That's
why he said he submitted, because his submittal was already deemed acceptable. Okay, so it's at the pre-construction meeting where the brochures and all those other catalogs that they're bringing up on their submittal, as they attach them to this submittal, is where they're going to make sure that they meet those requirements. So it's at the pre-construction stage of the process.
But would an award have already been given by that time?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So an award would have been made, they would have been given, and then shortly thereafter is when he would have been required. Or the winning bidder would have been required to submit
the rest of his committee? Or information?
Yes.
Okay.
So I just wanted to point on the book from the initial review, when the rebid just opened and we submitted in May. This is even before GSA took over. DOE forwarded those submittals to, of course, the facilities, and facilities to TRMA, which is the architect. Even in the initial review, they made mention through the phase of the documents that they both met, they both can complete the job, and that all the catalogs and brochures will be discussed at a later date after an award is made, and that's the reason, or that's the justification for this pre-construction meeting, you know, so that they clarify all these, what are you going, how did that present it, or I'm not sure, you know, in DOE's approach, if that's really what it is, but normally on the pre-construction, that's what happens. It's like, you know, here's the, we're going to now take the ball and run with it and start the project. Anyway. So it just reaffirms what GSA's finding was after, again, we went back for clarification. They still came back saying that DNR didn't.
Even though the differential in, even though the differential in their ultimate price was not fully explained.
That's on the technical side, you know, on what they offered on their ultimate and their basis, the differentiates that.
So who would review that in a spec?
I believe it should be the architect, because again, they're the ones reviewing the technical. They should be able to identify why it is so low on the ultimate versus the basis.
All right. Thank you very much for your help and explanation.
Are there any questions by either party as a result of the questions by myself and the public auditor?
Yes.
Mr. Jackson, do you have any questions?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, as a fair witness, I'd like to go last. Okay. Mr. Jackson.
Just a couple of brief questions. In this July 27th memorandum that we've been talking about, you indicated that in this memorandum, Dewey Cruz found that the Z4 and Eons could both meet, or what was the word? They could both do the project, basically. And that they could complete the project as required, I believe is what you indicated. If you could just go to this Jackson memorandum, number 22. But I believe that we need to read the entire sentence here. Now, will you just read that last sentence, starting with furthermore?
What page of Exhibit 22?
That's the first. Okay, so I'll read and I'll ask you a question. How about that? It says, furthermore, based on the assessment of existing manpower and financial capability of these contractors, it is our belief that they could complete the project as required. So my question is that... It seems like he's saying that's more of his review of a bit of responsibility opposed to whether they're meeting the specs. Is that correct?
Not to, at least not to my opinion. Because with the work that we do in procurement, it's when they submit this, they're telling us whether they're meeting the specs. Or is it okay for the procurement to award the bid to the lowest, or in this case it could be either or because of the ultimate and the basis?
But in this sentence, it is our belief they could complete the project. It doesn't indicate that they could meet the specifications. There's no mention of specifications in this paragraph, though.
Right. But in my discussion, I had discussions with Dewey Cruz when, again, all the issues started to come up. And the intent of this memo and the way it was written is that, yes, they both met it, they can both complete it, but he also brought my attention to where he's saying that it will leave it up to the procurement officer to make the decision on.
Right. And it says there, it was noted that the alternate bid amount of Eons is lower than the the lowest basic bid amount submitted by Z4, and as you stated, however, the method of award for these bids is dependent on your office.
That's right.
Now, after this memo was issued, Neon's bid was rejected because it failed to fully explain the terms of its bid.
Actually, Mr. Jackson, it was rejected because they claimed, DOE claimed, that they did not submit an explanation to their bid. Not that they failed to fully explain their bid.
Okay. Now, and so after they submitted this, it was dependent on Mr. Alcantara to make the final decision about whether the bidders complied with not the specification of the project, but whether the bidder submitted the required documents under the IFB.
That's correct.
Okay. So there's two issues here, whether they submitted documents that met the specifications and whether Eon submitted documents that were required by the IFB.
That's correct, and that through my review of the procurement record, Eon did submit, and that's where, you know, again, in communication with Albert Garcia, of course, trying to learn what they did over a DOE before they transitioned to GSA. They were under the assumption they didn't accept Eon's alternate bid where they indicated what they were bidding on the alternate as an explanation. See? So you can already see that Mr. Garcia, both even with Mr. Roque Alcantara, acknowledged that they're right. They shouldn't have rejected Eon because they failed to submit an explanation after they realized that they did indicate an explanation of what they are bidding on their alternate, or what are they offering on their alternate bid.
But we just looked at a couple of documents from Taniguchi and Ruth saying that the information provided was insufficient to determine if the product met the specification. So it's not whether the product did or did not meet specification, it's that the information was insufficient. And that information was required at the opening of the bidding. Is that right?
That's correct. But again, the rejection was not based on that. You see, the rejection was because Eon failed to explain or provide an explanation for their bid. And that's why the appeal or the protest, or even Eon requested for reconsideration in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then they filed an appeal because they know that they did submit an explanation, and that's not the reason for the rejection. Again, if they didn't meet specs, all they have to do is say you did not meet the specification.
And the explanation they submitted was the explanation that only provided an explanation for $160,000 worth of products. And it didn't explain the products that were offered that were equivalent to $109,000.
I can't answer when it comes to technical. You know, their technical review of the specs. The bottom line is facilities. The facilities did not communicate well with the architect, and facilities is telling us since their initial review that they met, both of them met, you know, or that they're able to complete the job, and based on the procurement records that I've reviewed, at least GSA's reviewed, we didn't see...
Well, it doesn't seem like the dry 27 memorandum says that, that they met the specification. It's not saying that at all. It's saying that based on, it's kind of going down the list of whether these are responsive bidders, whether responsible bidders. It says here, performance in the past had been satisfactory. So this argument is more describing their responsibility, not whether they actually submitted those right documents or whether the explanation was sufficient. Is that right?
Actually,
for me and for Kim, in my opinion, is when we send this out, when the procurement sends a memorandum, like let's say to the facility manager in this case, who is like, of course, the project, or the end user of this project, we send it to them to review. It's about the specifications and nothing else.
Okay. Let's see if I have anything else for you. And just briefly about this final. The final document on September 25th, that it was like an internal document. This is appellant's exhibit 27. It noted Taniguchi and Ruth listed a bunch of. This is after Taniguchi and Ruth reviewed their bid submittal for the second time. Taniguchi and Ruth said that Beyond failed to submit documents substantiating what was being offered. And then it indicated, please advise what to do. Now, you're saying that nothing further was submitted by Eons after this document was, no further documents explaining the terms of this bid were submitted by Eons?
On after the 25th, the 27?
And they were basically awarded the contract based upon the promise that they would meet the spec.
Actually, they didn't make an award to Eon. We gave them a notice to submit their bond, you know, the performance bond, but we didn't actually execute an award to Eon at this point.
I have no further questions. Thank you. Ms. Wynn?
Earlier I asked you some questions about how the procurement process goes, and you explained to me that there was an analysis and a recommendation made before in the internal process of the procurement department. Can you look at appellant exhibit number 3? The date on this document is July 30th, 2009. So it follows the July 27th, 2009 of Billy Cruz letter and the July 20th.
I'm sorry, Ms. Mooney, mm-hmm. Read the document.
Appellant exhibit number 3, July 30th, 2009.
Second document.
Oh, next one.
Wait a minute.
So about the first page or the second? The first page is August 6th, 2009. Okay, so you're talking about the second page?
Yeah,
all
the
right.
Second page.
Thank you.
Sorry. The second page. It's entitled A Memorandum to the Administrator Supply Management Buyer Supervisor Analysis and Recommendation. And sequentially, it follows the documents we've been talking about, July 27th, 2009 memo. And it's signed by Mr. Alcantara. And the basis that set forth as to making a determination to award to Z4 over Eon is what, based on that analysis and recommendation.
It's based on the. What was the question again?
Well, this is how they made their choice between Eon and Z4 on July 30, 2009, according to the procurement record. This is a document called Analysis and Recommendations.
Correct.
And I'm looking for some determination that there was no explanation of an alternate bid as part of that July 30, 2009 Analysis and Recommendation. And I don't see it.
Right. It's just saying that Eon identified the middle primary and alternate bid. However, it's noted that Eon is offered all foreign products, therefore allowing for a 15% increase. 15% increase for evaluation purposes only obtaining their offer above the price offered by Z4.
And so they review that, and based on that information, the administrator supply management and the buyer supervisor too make their award And that's the explanation as to why they're making their award, correct?
Based on this document, yes.
Yeah, that document.
Yeah, they'll be added a 15% markup on the price for Eon's dismantle.
Okay. But this is the explanation that's there in the procurement record at that point in time?
Yes.
Okay. And then based on this document, the next document that goes out is, I believe,
the bid status?
Yeah, the bid status sheet. And that's where they make a recommendation for award to the four corporations, correct?
That's correct.
So there's no discussion at all at that point in procurement history as to this alternate bid not being explained, correct?
That's correct, at least based on these documents that we have.
So the first discussion of that appears the August 14th letter to our response to Ian with an exhibit B, and it's dated August 14th. So approximately 2 weeks later, and only in response to an inquiry by Ian, is there then a mention of not explaining the basic and alternate bid as being a reason or the failure to explain was the result of rejection of the bid.
That's correct.
There then follows on August 28th a memorandum that you have Mr. Arbus prepared with regard to the issue of whether or not documentation was submitted.
Ms. Wynn, can you cite an exhibit number so we can follow along?
August 28th.
And be advised that these questions should be geared towards redirect questions, solely only questions asked by the public auditor and myself.
Well, I am attempting to make sure that when we go forward, that we have the questions in line with the sequence of documents. We've been going from the July 27, 2009 document and then moving forward to these other documents. And skipping over the July 30th analysis and recommendation. And so I just wanted to make sure that sequence was there. And that's what I was just going to go to the August 28th one.
Okay, but once again, please limit your questioning to the scope of the questions asked by myself and the public auditor.
Okay. And that's, I'm attempting to go into the alternate bid analysis. Exhibit 2, page 2. On page 3 of it, appellant exhibit 2. And at that point in time, Mr. Garcia is writing a memorandum to you at GSA, is that correct?
Actually, he's writing a memo to the file. Yeah.
Yeah, I will object on this as beyond the scope because this is the first time we've been talking about these documents, and now there's really no way for the appellant to further flesh this out at this point. So it's pretty, it's beyond the scope. That's the reason that we have that type of rule. We could have gone into all these documents on direct, and, we delayed this hearing about a month and a half, and this is the first time we're talking about these documents. So, I object.
Your response to the objection, Ms. Quinn?
My understanding is the whole procurement record is in the file. The whole procurement file is part of the record. And these documents are in response to the particularity on the issues that were gone into on the examination on the issue of the alternate bid and the evaluation process that GSA did.
I'm going to sustain the objection on the ground that you've laid no real foundation as to how these documents basically relate to any of the issues that were brought up under the public auditor's examination of the witness online. Okay? Please proceed, Ms. Mooney.
Did you sustain
it? I sustained the objection.
Anything further with regard to the alternate bid and discussion that you would like to have at this point, whether or not it was reviewed as part of the procurement history?
Based on my review, it was reviewed since the initial process of the rebid, based on the documents that were in the procurement file, wherein the facilities manager wrote back to the procurement office saying the alternate bid of E.ON is recognized there. It was recognized also on the spreadsheet of TR name, where they actually did an analysis between the alternate bid of E.ON and the basic bid of V4. So since the beginning, it was made known that there was in fact an alternate bid submitted by E.ON with the explanation of what they are bidding on the or what they are offering on the alternate bid.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Clausey, I'm going to excuse you as a witness at this time. Of course, you're subject to recall at any time, and I'm going to instruct you basically not to discuss your testimony with any of the parties or any of the other witnesses until these proceedings have concluded. Thank you for your presence today. Ms. Mooney, do you have any other witnesses?
No, I do not.
Does the purchasing agency rest?
We do.
Okay. And then the public auditor has recalled Mr. Roki Alcantara. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. We have another guy in the corner. She had town in here, and she was just like, what are we waiting? Yeah. You can see in here, you play a valuable role to keep us going.
Okay, can we go off the record? We're going to have a short break before the as the witness comes up here. So off the record at 3:46.